podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Darren! 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 I can't be the same always.
Oh, I love this song, and I've missed this song almost as much as I've missed you, lovely listener. Hello, welcome back. This is the beginning of, believe it or not, series 4 of My Mate Bought a Toaster. Avec moi, Tom Price. That's with me, Tom Price. So, episode 1 then, here we go. Today's episode was recorded at the Latitude Festival very recently indeed, back in July. Yeah, all right, not that recently. I've had a very busy summer. I meant to put this out weeks ago, but I've just been doing other things. Sorry, I do still love you, and I want you to listen to this because you're going to love it. So this is live at the Latitude Festival in front of a massive audience, which was extremely funny. The fact there were people there was hilarious. And you'll hear us mention it. We'll talk about the fact that they were there and the reason why they were there as we crack on with the show. Mark Watson is the guest. He is someone I've been trying to get on for ages. Absolutely delighted he joined me. And he brought his A game. Of course he did. And also a massive fly. Have a listen to this weirdness at the beginning. There's always some weirdness before we get things underway.
You seen the size of that fly on my laptop?
Yes. Newsflash, there's an enormous insect on Tom's laptop.
That is the biggest fly I've ever seen.
And that is what? A podcast problem you don't normally get away from Fresh.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite weird that there's a fly the size, I'd say, of a small dog. On my laptop. I'd say if I can flick it off. See if you spot it as it flicks off, really. Then again, this is a Latitude audience. I don't want to hurt an animal.
Yeah. I tell you what, this will be great when people listen back to it.
They're going to love this. Yeah. Let's paint a picture, Mark. Massive fly. I'm going to flick it off, but in a lovely way.
For those of you listening to this, Price is about to apply a firm finger to...
Oh my God, he's still there! I think there's an ill fly. I think. Do you know what? I think this fly has taken the first drugs of the festival.
I don't think you want to get a reputation as someone that menaced an ill fly in the first.
This is my first time on stage in front of humans for basically like nearly 2 years. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Now I feel a bit like a competition winner, and I cannot. I'm genuinely emotional. This is so lovely.
It is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's brilliant.
No disrespect to you, because it is a popular podcast, but this is way more people than I thought when you asked me.
Way more. This is what happens when you carefully ask to have your podcast scheduled when there's fuck all else on. Yeah.
It's really paid off for you, mate.
Yeah, yeah. That Tom Price podcast is doing well. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, it's doing well when it's the only glass of water in a desert. All right. Hello, welcome to the only podcast that unearths the truth about funny people by going through their Amazon accounts. Welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster, live from Latitude! Wow. There we are, that is the noise there of people all cheering through their masks.
Of course. More or less all.
Yeah, it's fine, it's fine. So we're coming to you from the Listening Post. It's pretty much the biggest stage at the Latitude Festival.
And this is the Saturday night headline slot as well.
That's right, Saturday night at Latitude, thank you. That is the voice of Mark Watson, who is my guest. The introduction to him is coming up, but Mark, it's worth pointing out, we're looking out on a sea of, I'd say, 5,000-6,000 people right now.
You can only liken it. Yeah, there you go. It's going to be like bands, when they headline Glastonbury, they always say they don't know how well it's going because they can't really hear themselves over the crowd. It's going to be one of those.
Like. It is. I thought you were going to say it's going to be like Band-Aid for a second.
I think we'll leave off on those comparisons.
Podcast Band-Aid. Yeah. So my guest tonight is very brilliant. If you're a fan of stand-up comedy, you already love him. If you're a fan of brilliant novels... available to buy here later on. You already love him. And if you're a fan of guests agreeing to come on the show at the last minute because they were here anyway, you're going to absolutely adore him.
I mean,
it's Mark Watson, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi. I mean, I've quite literally still got like, my suitcases backstage. I've just arrived on the site now.
Yeah. I can vouch for that.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoyed the way that you shambled in, as I knew you would. I'm a big fan of the Mark Watson gait. You've got a really nice way of walking. I've always enjoyed that about you.
These days, there are some of these comedians slightly more polished, perhaps. They do things like look good when they're walking or can use a microphone. Fuck all that. I wasn't like that in 2002, and I'm not like that now.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so Mark, here's what we're going to do. We're going to dive into your Amazon account. We're going to go back right now. We're going to see the first thing that you ever bought on Amazon. So just to give you some sort of context here, guys, Mark gave me the email address and password that he uses for his Amazon account. I have been looking at it over the last 24 hours. I've reported one or two things to the authorities. But it's...
See, that would have been a lot funnier a few years ago, before comedians did regularly start to get in trouble for that. So there was a really uneasy laugh.
Nah, yeah, yeah. That was more observational. Like, yeah, that does happen. Yeah. But the things I haven't reported are, first of all, the first thing you ever bought on Amazon, here we go. It is. Yeah. It's Sleepyhead by Mark Billingham. We heard a wow from the audience there. Wow, it's a crime novel. I would never have thought that of Mark Watson. So this is one of the Tom Thorne novels. You bought this in 2003, I believe, Mark.
Yeah, the first time I saw Amazon was, though, in about, I think it's 98, my first year at university.
Yeah.
So years before I had an account. And I can still remember it because I was looking for a not very well-known book of short stories for my university work. And I had a geek friend, a computer scientist friend, who said, "Have you?" In those days, no one had the internet in their rooms. He was just a computer. He was a geek.
Yes.
Almost the first time I saw the internet. I feel so old saying this to me. Some people won't be born in this attempt when the episode... that I'm describing took place, but it's late 98.
And you hear you don't just see the internet for the first time, you hear it as well.
Oh, yeah. It takes well over a day to start the internet up, for a start, at this point.
You can smell the internet, the burning rubber in the router.
So my mate Tom takes me into his room. First of all, he has to ask everyone else at university to shut down their internet, otherwise it won't work. and they can't be on their landlines either. But eventually he says, have you ever heard of Amazon? I didn't even know what he meant. I didn't know that it was a website. But yeah, he brought it up, typed in this obscure work. Instantly it came up. And I said, how does it know how to... And he said, well, you can do that with any book, basically, that's ever existed. And I thought, I remember saying, if that's true, this Amazon thing's going to be, you know, really big.
This is going to go well. And you thought, Mark Billingham.
That was probably the time to buy shares. Well, the reason I bought this book as my first ever Amazon purchase was that you'll know Mark Billingham was a stand-up who pivoted very successfully into writing things. And so I had an ambition to be an author myself. And so there was a lot of talk of, like, this guy's sort of escaped. He's escaped from comedy. He's a writer now. He's successful.
So it's not a great sort of indictment for your industry, is it, when people escape from it? That gives that kind of prison vibe. Do you know what I mean?
Which is free of it. I love doing stand-up. And it is... I'll agree with what Tom's already said. It is exhilarating to be in front of this many people again. It's amazing. But yeah, a lot of the time, people become successful at stand-up, they immediately start fantasizing about not having to do it anymore. And that wasn't me, but it was the way people talked about it. You do club gigs with, like, quite bitter, sometimes quite washed up old guys, and they say, you weren't even old in those days, but the rest applies, yeah. And people would often talk about this guy, Mark Billingham, and say, you know, he doesn't do this anymore. He writes books. He's found out. And they would talk about it with envy. So I thought I should really check this guy out. Yeah. Bought the book. Did I read it? Not exactly, no.
And it's worth looking at the slug line on the front. He doesn't want you alive. He doesn't want you dead. He wants you somewhere in between. Sort of like a murdery version of edging, I think.
Yeah. Whoever this guy is, he's picky, isn't he?
He really is.
If you don't want me alive or dead, this could be fiddly, mate. I've got a worrying feeling that quite a few of the objects that you will have found in my search history, I won't have ever used, and I probably won't even remember ever having...
Great. It's going to be a short recording, guys, okay?
Yeah, I've got no stories.
Let's move on. So this really...
Well, so this, for example, what the fuck is that?
So this is the Straight Line 64020 Stud Finder. What... What I mean, there's some ladies out here who look like they're...
Who hasn't bought a stud finder for a start?
What is a stud finder?
And if you are a fan of stud finders, you'll know that by far the best model on the market is the, I'll just check, 10503479.
Yeah, it's a classic.
So this, I mean, I don't know where to start with this, Tom. Firstly...
10 minutes on this, please.
I don't think that stud finder is a phrase that I recognise for a start from my experience of the world so far.
Yeah.
What it does, you can see for yourself if you've got good eyesight, it quickly locates wood and metal studs in walls.
Oh.
You know, sometimes it takes you ages to find a stud in a wall and you're furious.
Hang on. Let's Sorry, define what is a stud.
I don't know, mate.
Like, isn't that... because so it's not like a metal detector, then? Does anyone here know what a stud finder is?
Okay, fine. Thank God for that. I'm not the first person in the world to have bought a stud finder.
What is... can someone shout out eloquently and quickly and loudly so we get it for the podcast? What?
It's so you don't drill into cables.
Drill into cables. Okay. Thank you, Vicky. Very good. Very good.
Oh, okay. So what I will say is, I don't know how much you people know about me, but the likelihood I have ever drilled into a cable or into anything else or owned a drill or know what a drill is very, very low. So why on earth I bought a stud finder in about 2005, I literally do not know. But I do know why I've bought a lot of things in my life, and it has something to do with what is also in here.
to be clear,
podcast listeners, wine.
Don't think because you were wrapping up there, I'm going to move on, because I'm not.
No. I accept the stud finder bet. Who
sort of drinks and Amazon shops their way to a stud finder? That's what I don't understand.
Mark Watson, that's who.
Do you do any DIY?
Absolutely not. No.
Well, why have you got a stud finder then?
I don't know. I'm the opposite of a person that does DIY. I know in advance that it will go badly, so I just sort of basically wander the streets until I find a person who will be able to do it. I don't know what motivated this, and I'm tickled by the idea that it says it rapidly helps you to, because if in the unlikely event I was worried there were studs in the wall, I would just investigate the situation in my own time, I think. Yeah. I don't think, unless I'm ever on Taskmaster again, I don't think I'll be trying to find things in a wall against a time limit. So
I think the best way to, I don't know if anyone else has done this, when you're looking for it to see if there's metal or a wire in a wall you're about to drill into it, let me know if you've done this. You just give it a little knock.
No, you think that's the best way, because you've never owned a deluxe stud finder.
You just go like, nah, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. You can knock on the walls like some sort of primitive caveman figure.
That's what I do.
You can get yourself a lovely, and I'll use the phrase again, stud finder. And that, for some reason, is what I did.
Okay. All right. This straight line stud finder auto marking button eliminates the need for pens and pencils.
That's the thing. Don't you hate it when you're having to constantly use pens and pencils on your walls? Not with a stud finder. I'm doing quite a good job, but for someone that doesn't ever remember having owned this.
I know.
Looking at the item on the screen as well, I'm 95% sure that was never in my house. I cannot account for... I have no history with a stud finder.
You know what you need if you can't find it? You need a stud finder finder.
Yeah. Which... I wouldn't be amazed if the next screenshot was one of those. Yeah.
Okay, let's find out.
Rapidly locates a stud finder in your house.
Next up, here we go. A bit of C.S. Lewis. That's it. Thursday Night at Latitude. Oi, oi, C.S. Lewis in the house. So this is...
He's playing on the Sunday, I think.
Yeah, he definitely is. Surprised by Joy from you bought this in 2006. Is this the one? Is this about the God bothering? Is this quite a Christian one?
Well, he doesn't use the phrase God bothering himself.
No, sure.
But yeah, this is one of numerous Christian tomes published by C.S. Lewis. Well, you probably all know the whole Narnia saga is sort of...
What?
Fairly thinly veiled Christian allegory.
What? Don't tell me Aslan is Jesus.
Of course Aslan's Jesus, mate.
Shit!
Just like in the Bible, where Jesus is, famously, a lion. yeah, it's all... I don't think anyone in a Latitude audience needs being brought up to...
Most of these people's children are called Aslan. It's fine.
Exactly.
If we show Aslan, you'll hear the scuttering of them arriving. Arlo, Aslan!
The very least, there'll be an Edmund. Or is that...
That is the name of my youngest son.
God.
Did you know that?
A, no. B, I think it's a perfectly nice name, but I could easily have phrased that differently.
Because Edmund is in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, right? That's fine, isn't it?
Edmund. Oh, yeah, I didn't just say Edmund dismissively, as in, what is a shit name? He's one of the characters in the Narnia books. I didn't just pull it out of my hat as the worst name I could think of. That really would be it.
For a second, I'll be my... C.S. Lewis, I mean, this is an interesting time to have a discussion about you on a spiritual journey in front of all these people, but was this...
Well, again, I'll remind you, I didn't think that many people would be here. I had a number of friends who were had religious faith in my sort of early to mid-20s, and I was at this sort of stage of my life where I was searching for meaning and whatnot. So I did have a brief, I suppose flirtation is a bit of a weird way to talk about Christianity. I briefly saw Jesus. And so in that time, I was but I wasn't, I couldn't quite get my head, I couldn't really commit. But they were always telling me to read this by C.S. Lewis, read that by C.S. Lewis. And this is, I think, one of a series of kind of what you might call spiritual autobiography or something which he wrote, which doubled as a sort of idiot's guide to becoming a Christian. So I read quite a lot of those in that time, 25, 26. And
did it work?
For a bit, I think I was in. The thing is, and I think I share this probably with quite a few people in this tent, I'm not. I don't want to die, really. I don't like the idea of dying. I think it's a real shame. I'm sorry if that's a controversial point to make, death.
You really split the room,
bad. Of course there'll be death. Well, actually, at some festivals, there'd be loads of fans of death. But we're not at Reading now. you could get booed for slagging off the idea of death and the abyss at Reading Leeds. But this is Latitude, and I think we can all agree that existential angst is a bad feeling. And so I think I made quite a lot of attempts to ward off that feeling in my 20s. By looking at things like, basically, I like the idea of an afterlife. I thought I could definitely get on board with this. If I'm only giving up my Sunday mornings, and in exchange for that, I get eternity, fair play. But actually, when you look into it, it's more than just Sundays. You have to do all sorts of stuff in the rest of the week as well.
That is the thing. There's a lot to live up to. There's a lot. It turns out they're quite big on rules.
Yes, Jesus, very, very generous, also quite demanding when you sort of dig down into it.
He wants stuff from you. He loves you, but at a price.
But although that's something I've almost never discussed before, I don't think, in public, and certainly not in a surprising...
Why not do it now? This is like an intervention. Okay, guys, we're ready. Get your Bibles out.
God, imagine that. it's odd to look back on. I don't remember much about the book, but I do remember C.S. Lewis is a very enjoyable writer to read, of course, and at the same time, roughly the same time, the Philip Pullman books were quite new still, I think, and those books were written as a kind of, you know, backlash to... the Narnia books, obviously. And I had also read those. So to be fair to me, I was keeping a foot in both camps. I was interested in God, but I was at Pullman in my other ear going, come on, mate, now. And
if you put the C.S. Lewis book next to a Philip Pullman book, it's like two magnets.
Yeah, that's right. They actually have a fight.
Yeah, they won't.
So it was a sort of fairly brief phase, I think. But I was, and I remain really interested. I'm not a Christian, but I'm still very interested in faiths and religions as a sort of academic subject, which is, again, not something that anyone really knows about me, but there you go.
Yeah, okay, good.
Nonetheless, I'm surprised to see this. I can't remember it on my bookshelves. I don't think I still have it now, probably.
Right.
So that might be a common theme of this as well.
That they've got, that you don't remember them and that they've gone, you have no recollection.
The things are all... I've had an Amazon account for so long that many of the items I don't even remember being in my life, like the I already can't remember the name of it, the Stud Finder.
But this is what we like to do on the podcast. We like to remind people that you buy stuff on Amazon, then you forget you ever bought it. So don't fucking bother buying stuff on Amazon. That's kind of the vibe.
Yes, I think
what we're trying to do here.
It's true. I think if we're talking about the suppositions of the Latitude audience, if this was a pro-Amazon podcast, it would be a misstep, I think.
Yeah.
I can't imagine really a less viable place to talk approvingly about Amazon. So, yeah, I think Tom's right. I think probably most of my search history displays a tendency to pick up useless things, but most people do that on Amazon, don't they?
Okay, fine. Well, that's the point, isn't it? Useless things. I'm probably 90% of the people here have bought their tents that they're staying in tonight on Amazon, so never mind. All right, look, this is a weird one. So this is The Circus, 1870 to 1950. It's a circus book. How do you say that word? Trilling.
I probably avoid trying to say it.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I've crashed straight into it. It's happened. It's very expensive. £201. 42 pence. What's going on here, please, Mark Watson?
Now, this is a slightly niche comedy story, but many of you will be familiar with the TV show Taskmaster. I've already mentioned it once. Taskmaster is the brainchild of my great friend Alex Horn, as you'll know. And unfortunately, it's very successful now, so, you know... Yeah, never like to see that when it's one of your mates.
I would say he came on this podcast and one of the first things he bought just after the success of that show was a hot tub. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, I've known Horn for a long time. Only one of us owns a hot tub now.
Sure.
Not everyone will know this, but Taskmaster devotees might be aware of this. Before it was ever a TV show, Horn tried the idea as a real life thing where you just got an email every month with a task and none of us knew who was playing. We were all anonymous, about 12 of us. And one month, the task was send me the biggest thing you can in the post. So this is well before it was TV. It was just he was just trying the idea out. It became an Edinburgh show and so on. It was years between this, by the way, and the TV show. It's a good example of how you should always persevere. And in fact, Channel 4 nearly bought it. Then it went to Dave because Channel 4 didn't have the courage. In the end, Channel 4 had to buy it back from Dave for an astonishing amount of money. For football fans, a sort of Paul Pogba situation. And by buy it off Dave, I mean, of course, steal it from Dave. Now, I had seen this book in the shops, and it is, and I'm not exaggerating, unbelievably big. You don't get a sense of it really there. On the screen, it just looks like a sort of large format book, but it's enormous. It's bigger than, and I don't say it lightly, bigger than that fly that was on Tom's laptop.
Whoa.
I don't say it lightly.
But it's about a circus? What is it?
It is actually quite a beautiful illustrated history of the golden age of circus, which is not something that I know anything about or I'm even that interested. You know, like the P.J. Barnum era of Victorian showmanship, all this stuff. So it's full of these beautiful pictures of, you know, early trapeze artists and the days when circus came out, freak shows and all this business. So kind of fascinating, but I didn't own the book. I just flicked through it in a shop. And the reason I flicked through it was because it was the biggest book or thing that I'd seen in my life. And so you wouldn't even, like, you wouldn't buy it in a shop and carry it home. You'd need four of me to carry it.
Okay, let's use, you know, we're seeing as we are physically here in the flesh.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Is it like this? Is it like, well, how?
I say it's like, I don't know how good this is audio-wise.
Yeah, that. Oh, my God.
It's probably... Like, it's not a coffee table. It's bigger than a coffee table book.
Oh, my God.
It's properly, like, if it fell on you, it would kill you.
And imagine being killed by the circus book. That would be amazing. Whilst dressed as a clown.
Yeah. That's the most middle-class death imaginable, actually. Killed by an illustrated history of circus.
Aslan!
So I thought, right. I thought, I've seen that in the shop. I know for a fact that is a huge book. If I send that to Horn, that'll be... But in fact, lots of people were cleverer than me and they sent him something like, you know, a marquee or something which was quite easy to post but would then become huge. So I didn't even win the task and I did spend, I don't think it was a lot less than the £201 that you see there because I was so keen to win. And again, it wasn't money that I really had at the time.
Did he not refund?
Of course not, no.
Outrageous.
No, he did. He texted me saying... lovely book and very generous of you. But,
that's it.
Like 3 points. Yeah, very, very disappointed.
So Alex Horn's an arsehole. Okay, we've established that. Good. Great.
I suppose I've sort of said that.
He owes you money. Yeah, that's okay.
But no, there was, I can't remember what did win it, but someone had found a way of sending something which was quite small in a package but then unfolded in something enormous. I was too literal-minded. I just literally sent a big... what it means is that Alex Horn's old address, in fact, this is about two addresses ago, it's still one of my saved addresses. On Amazon, and every now and again I click too quickly and send something to whoever is now living in Alex Horn's old house, and sometimes I cancel it, but sometimes I'm hungover and I don't. Recently, this is a bit of Amazon adjacent trivia. Recently, I bought a load of board games for kids, for my kids, because during lockdown, of course, everyone's going out of their mind. They were always on their PlayStation and stuff like that. I thought maybe I should reintroduce reintroduced. They never really, you know, I thought maybe it's time for these technology-addled 11 and 7-year-olds to be introduced to board games.
Wait, now, which ones did you go for? Straight away, it's got to be Cluedo or Monopoly, right?
Well, I went online and I asked Twitter, what are these days board games that kids like?
Right.
And it turns out things happen. Anyway, so there's a board game called Ticket to Carcassonne or something. Maybe it's just called Carcassonne.
Has anyone ever heard of that board game? Quick show of hands. Oh.
Carcassonne, yeah.
Fans.
So it's, which is a place in France.
Right? Oh, it's a beautiful citadel.
Yeah. I don't think we can get much more latitude than that, Tom. Yes, Carcassonne is a beautiful citadel.
Lovely. Great book by Kate Moss called Carcassonne.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Also a rugby team, of course.
Yes. And, not that Kate Moss. Sure.
I bought it, but I bought about four or five board games at the same time. I did the sort of thing that a lot of us will have done in lockdown of finding a thing which your kids seem to like and panic buying a million of those items. And... but for some reason, I clicked too quickly and sent this Carcassonne board game to the flat that I lived in 2004, and I didn't even notice. But then, and this is a mark of how the world has moved on since those days, I got a tweet from someone saying, I don't suppose you used to live in this garden flat in Lewisham, did you? Because I've just taken possession of a board game with your name on it. And I moved out of that flat 16 years ago. And the guy would have had no chance of doing it. He just must. And also, Mark Watson, not an uncommon name, but he stuck his neck out.
And did you get it back? Did you?
No, because I said, oh, thanks, mate. What do? Do I give you my address? I now live quite a long way from there. And then the guy sent another message saying, actually, this looks quite good. Can I have it? And I didn't know what to do, so I just said, yeah, all right. And I didn't even buy a replacement, so I just bought that man that I've never met a board game for like 30 quid.
I love, that's a brilliant idea. What a sort of modern way of passing on good things. Just go through your Amazon previous addresses and just send them random stuff.
Yeah, I've got 7 or 8 saved addresses. I've ran quite a lot. I could just do random gifts for these people.
Yeah, to whoever is there now, and then just send them a nice box of cards.
I might, this Christmas, maybe I'll do a secret Santa to everyone that lives in one of my old addresses. Yes. But literally secret Santa, because they'll never understand what happened.
Join me, Jez Rose.
And me, Kathy Slack.
For Series 3 of Roots, Wings and Other Things.
How would you describe the show, Jez?
Well, I suppose it's partly gardening chat.
And some veg growing too.
And cooking.
And not forgetting the dogs.
No, or the celebrity special guests.
And probably a bit too much giggling.
Yeah, so I guess it's a joyful, nature-y, gardening-y show with dogs.
Giffy.
Well, every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bom, bom, mommy.
All right, let's find out what you have brought next, Mark Watson. This is quite weird. Three-meter-length crime scene, do not enter novelty barrier tapes.
I accept this looks bad.
Yes. Have you been trying to sort of shut off some roads to deal with traffic problems? What have you got going on here, please?
You can't see unless you're close to the front, but it does say on the screen, currently unavailable. We don't know when or if this item will be in stock. So I think I'm probably the only person to have bought police tape from Amazon, because presumably if you are the police, there's other ways of getting it. They can't be panic buying it hungover at midnight.
It looks real enough, doesn't it? You could put that around a tree in a car and people would stop, which is quite a powerful thing. I'd stick a high-vis jacket on.
Yeah, I think what happened is I don't remember killing anyone. I've been drunk a lot.
You should look under that circus book, then you'll find out.
Not on purpose. What I think happened is my sisters and parents are into murder mystery parties, that sort of business, which, again, I don't know how specific a thing this is. Who here has done a murder mystery party? It can't be that uncommon.
Quite a lot.
People are at least aware of the idea. So you get given a character, you're called, you know, the Reverend Fortescue or something for the night. You have to dress as a vicar.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's your own parents. my parents and family go in for this quite a lot. So I think, and again, I don't remember the purchase, but I can only imagine that one Christmas, which is when these things normally happen, we just went hard for this and I bought some police tape. That's at least the only explanation I can think of, which it doesn't cast me in a worrying light.
I've never done one of those. Is it actually any good? Or it looks pretty excruciating. It looks like a slightly crap Midsummer Murders thing. Or is it actually fun?
I think you've got to really like the people you're doing it with. The people you're killing. Mm-hmm. It's fun within it. Like, we did one, maybe the last time it was 2 years ago, and my dad, who's a very undemonstrative man, was the murder victim. So it said on his card something like, start talking about the weather and then die. And if your dad is anything like me, it is quite fun to see him say, my dad's a chemistry teacher, he's never had any ambition to be an actor. Been very warm, hasn't it? Right, either this is acting or the old man really is dying here. So that's the thing. In an atmosphere of trust and love,
yeah.
But what you don't want to do, I think, is be invited to one with people you don't know that well, and then the whole night you have to pretend to be an American film director going, that's weird you said that, because... Yeah. I thought you said, because that's how it works. You get given
you have to do an accent.
Yeah, but no one can do them, so you all feel like dicks, which again is fine within the family, but you don't want to be meeting someone for the first time, but you're pretending to be an Irish it girl or something.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of themed parties, The more you like the people, the more fun it is. I do not recommend going to a murder mystery party if you don't really know the other guests.
Okay, good. There's some life advice.
Right here.
Okay, fine. Moving on. Oh, lovely, Mark. Lovely.
Yeah, so...
You've bought 100 toddler tunes and rhymes. Now, this is Mark Watson. We've seen Mark Watson the murderer. We've seen him the... massive book buyer.
Oh, nothing makes you let off a murderer more than when you find out he's once had a toddler. Yeah.
And now you've bought the Toddler Tunes DVD. This is so lovely, but also probably infuriating because these songs are earworm.
Yeah, you'll have been rummaging around in the Amazon history, obviously, and you'll see there's a point about 2010 to 2012 when I stopped buying fun stuff like police tape. or basically anything enjoyable. I nearly said some other examples of fun stuff. I won't in the end. And instead start buying awful things like this. So this was a DVD of, and the clue's in the title, no fewer than 100 toddler tunes.
Yeah.
And when you find something like this, you'll know if you've got kids that your kid takes to, then you'll just stick it on all the time to buy you 7 minutes a day of release from your servitude. But the trouble is, if they get too into it, you're hearing these 100 tunes every day for what feels like the rest of your life, and multiple times as well. So there'll be tunes on there that I will never be able to forget, that the other will be playing in my head when I do die.
Oh God, a selection of favourite songs and rhymes, old and new, accompanied by colourful illustrations for children under 5. Okay, let's see if the audience sing along as we go. Includes The Wheels on the Bus.
Oh, everyone knows The Wheels on the Bus.
Sort of funeral dirge there.
Well, actually, this is interesting. There's more than one tune being sung here. I think there might be alt versions of The Wheels on the Bus.
It's like a dead clown.
Yeah, the dead clowns on the bus go. That's the thing. I tell you what, one thing you learn from that song, a bloody lot happens on the bus. My God.
Oh, it goes on. It goes on.
If you're singing it in a... You know, some of you will have had toddlers... And you have to take, you don't have to, but for idiotic reasons, you take them to a singing group where you all have to sing these songs while bobbing the tin. And The Wheels on the Bus, Christ almighty, you just think it's over. You've done 37 verses and then some mum called something like Chloe, and by something like, I mean almost certainly Chloe, says, oh, what about the number plate of the bus goes A, B, 4, 5, and then you all have to fucking do that. Some of my darkest moments of early parenthood were going to a singing group where, for a start, I was often the only dad, so everyone else is a mum, and they can normally all sing.
Yeah.
And then it's fine if it's The Wheels on the Bus or something you know, but sometimes there's some song called, like, I went on a pirate ship, and there's, again, 19 verses, and you're like, what the hell
and
is this?
And there's just one bass voice in the room.
Yeah, and all the rest of them are going, and when we were pirates, because they come every bloody week, but you're new. So you're like, right, I don't know this pirate thing. I've got the only man's voice. I'm in enormous trouble here. And your kid every now and again glances up at you as if to say, why is daddy not singing? Is daddy an outcast in this group?
My daddy must hate me. The Grand Old Duke of York, are we fans of that one?
There'll be no one that hasn't suffered that or some.
Not great.
I tell you what, these guys at the front seem as if they've been in Latitude longer than just Thursday.
I would really love it if the first song of Latitude 2021 was an audience singing The Grand Old Duke of
York. Amazing. You won't get Supergrass playing that, I'll be surprised.
There's a Hole in My Bucket.
Now, this is a...
That is a favourite.
I tell you what, these guys absolutely got everything in their repertoire.
Very nice.
Can we find more? Can we really stretch these people?
Well, let's see. Polly Put the Kettle On.
Oh, that's no challenge for them. It's amazing because they're singing it. They're like chanting like football fans, but the songs are all toddler's nursery rhymes. Yeah. Three blind mice. La, la, la.
And many more. That's it. You've done it. Well done. You've sung all the ones on the list. So that is... Oh, shame.
They were looking,
just
actively
do a
looking for
where
more.
We sing kids' songs. I'm well up for that. 100 favourite toddler tunes. Well, by virtue of that, there's got to be 94 more. Strap in. Some good reviews here. Ideal for young toddlers.
Ideal for young toddlers. Yeah. I'd be surprised if any adults were really getting down to it, to be fair.
There's a lot of people buying it for their grandkids. Bought it for my granddaughter before her first birthday. She loves it. Julie says, I bought this DVD a couple of years ago for my grandson who loved it. And then...
Look
at this.
3 stars. Too fast. Bought it for my one-year-old. One-year-old. Simple animation. Which, yes, of course, simple animation. It's basically a fetus that's watching this, right? Which is great. but definitely too quick to be able to appreciate and teach traditional rhyme.
Not too quick, your kid is thick.
What's the matter with you? You don't buy it to teach traditional rhymes. You do it so you can do the fucking washing up, you maniac.
Unbelievable.
You do it so you can maybe have a wee for once in your life.
This is good. Look at it. Paul Ross has been on. Oh my God, we've got Paul Ross.
Jonathan Ross's brother is angry with the DVD.
Do you want to know a true story about Paul Ross? You know who Paul Ross is, Jonathan Ross's brother? Absolutely true. Paul Ross's outgoing voicemail is...
This is true. You know this is true. Most comedians know this.
Yeah. Hi, it's Paul Ross. I'll do it. True story.
This is an amazing thing.
Can you do it in Paul Ross's voice is the question.
Was not happy with it. No, I don't think I can. It's been a long time since I saw or thought about Paul Ross, to be fair. I have met him. Was not happy with it. When it come, it had a £1 sticker at the front of the cover and they charged me £2.44.
Oh.
And £1.26 for posting the DVD.
Oh.
It all scratched. So that guy's had an unsatisfactory... We talked about this before we came on.
Hang on, he's missed out the bit about my brother being much more successful than me. That's not...
Yeah, also not happy in general. Signed, Paul Ross. We were talking about this before we started the actual podcast. It's amazing. I mean, that one star is a bit unfair to the manufacturers who've put 100 things on a DVD because it's beyond their control that someone has... But you get this all the time. You'll see a review of something like... Homer's Odyssey or the complete works of Shakespeare, like 2 stars, 1 page missing. And you're like, Shakespeare can't do a lot about that, pal. That's, think of the guy's average.
Arrived late. He's 600 years late. All right, let's look at the next one. Okay, nah, Mark.
Okay, fine. Like,
for the benefit of you listening at home, Mark has bought some deluxe folding handcuffs.
Of course deluxe. Do I look like a peasant?
I don't know what costume you were wearing, maybe.
Do I seem like... Do I seem like I would get budget folding handcuffs? Nah. What?
This is the first time we've caught Mark Watson stuck.
Look, we've all got kinks, but being handcuffed is not mine because it seems extremely inconvenient and I don't generally get off on having a more inconvenient life than I would be if I wasn't having sex. So, exactly what happened here. I don't think I'd ever have a kink which involved just being in a troublesome situation, basically, because a lot of my life is that.
It'd be a great kink, though, if you already turned on by a troublesome situation.
It would be a great kink, yeah.
The car's broken down.
Oh, my train's been cancelled. I like it, though. It would arguably be the best kink you could possibly have, because you'd be turned on many times a day.
You'd get thrown off the bus replacement service so quickly.
Got to pay my credit card bill. Hang on. What I'm going to claim, obviously, is that this went along with the police tape and this is another thing that was part of the... But I don't know how plausible that is because you can imagine having police tape at a murder mystery party. You don't normally actually handcuff the culprit and take them to a prison.
Especially when you're playing with your mum. Right, mum? You pop those on? That's very weird. Well,
given that my mum is in the equation, though, this is the only explanation that I can really stomach.
Particularly enjoyable are the reviews of the handcuffs, if we scroll down. Obviously, there's a lot of AQAs as well. Mark, if you want to take some of these. Are these real or toys? According to this guy, they are real.
They are real handcuffs. So you do... I was going to say I've got to hold my hands up, but you can't, of course, in that situation. I didn't mean to do that. A bit of fun. Handcuff ad lib. It's Thursday night of Latitude and we're still rushing.
Lovely stuff. You can't write that stuff.
Most of that cheer came from those guys down there who also sang.
Oh my God. Hang on, sorry. Look at this image of the person wearing it. I feel very ill.
I mean, you do start to ask yourself whether I did buy these for a party because there's no doubt these are real handcuffs. Like,
There's a white, tattooed, hairy hand. I'm thinking it's a man's hand. It looks like evidence, basically.
I got to admit, looking at this item, these don't look like handcuffs that you'd have fun with. It looks like I actually did try to start my own police force or something.
Okay, to begin, a review from G. Morgan.
Now, this review is quite something by the look of it.
Arrived in a thin cardboard box, but handcuffs have a good weight to them and keys were of a standard design. Checked both keys worked on both locks.
So quickly, the keys were of standard design is amazing. This isn't the guy's first time buying handcuffs.
Worked well for the first 2 occasions. Third, disaster. One key shredded and snapped whilst trying to free her.
And I just remind you again, this is another person's user review. This is nothing to do with me.
All right, G. Morgan Watson. I even read instructions where it states no excessive force to be used when turning the key. Thank God I had a hacksaw and the other spare key unlocked to anchor.
This is amazing stuff. In terms of items that could have the review, great to begin with, and then 2 stars. You don't want it to be handcuffs, I don't think. You want them to be working throughout the experience. My God.
Look at these.
Imagine writing a sentence like, thankfully I had a hacksaw so I was able to free her. Right, send. I'll just put that on the world's most popular website, I reckon.
Did you leave your name on it, darling? Of course I didn't. Oh, fuck.
Yes, I did. G. Morgan. By the way, and I could be lying about this, but I'm not.
Oh, this is good.
It occurs to me that I know someone called G. Morgan.
Oh, come on.
It can't be him. But also,
does he live at a former address?
I'm just picturing him doing that, and I don't find it impossible. Carry on.
Switch says, good for price, but could be better.
Could
pretty
be better.
Good handcuffs. This is also bought 9th of May 2021, during lockdown, as if you're not already restricted enough.
Yeah, who is handcuffing themselves during lockdown? Might as well lop a leg off as well while I'm done with it.
Had to knock off a couple of stars, though, as the safety locks have come a little loose and accidentally tightened them painfully when trying them once. I have only worn them casually for short periods.
That's... I don't think handcuffs are casual wear, are they? You're thinking of a polo shirt, mate.
And then there's one in Italian.
You wear handcuffs casually. They're the least casual item it's possible to think of. They literally incarcerate you.
Well, those, these are leisure handcuffs. Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah. Dress code is smart casual, so maybe loafers, handcuffs.
All right, moving on from the handcuffs then. Look at these, Mark.
Thank God this is a little bit more wholesome. Or is it? What is he doing with these, you might wonder?
So Mark has bought 450 grams of colourful glass marbles, $11.99. Lovely marbles, Mark. I mean, what more is there to say about marbles? Let's see.
I think this is a textbook divorced dad purchase. This is... I'm fine now, by the way. Divorced some years ago. There was a period where I had quite a lot of guilt and stuff and was trying to prove I was still fun. Things which you might have gone through if you've ever had a separation. And so in that period, if the kids showed an inkling they were into absolutely anything, I would jump on it. So there was just one day when they came back and my son, a kid at school, had given him a couple of marbles. He'd been playing marbles. And so immediately I just said, oh, what, you like marbles? Let's buy all the marbles in the world. And so I went on and bought this a set of an immense number of marbles. And they came, they looked lovely in the bag. They made that satisfying rattling noise in the bag, like the balls for the FA Cup draw. Were they ever played with? I don't know if they even ever came out of the bag, because they took 2 or 3 weeks to arrive. And of course, by that point, my son was no longer interested in marbles, because of course it is not 1958.
Fickle prick.
If you were to go into my, as you have, browsing history, you'll find other clear examples of times I've bought something desperately trying to surf the approval of my kids, and you'll be able to guess that
It does give you the sort of air of a coked up father, Amazon. I've done the same thing myself as well. Jenga, you seen Jenga? Jenga YouTube video. And then a day later, I've got you the Jenga. And they just look at you like, who?
What about
who
if we had 100 Jenga sets?
Yeah. Completely untouched. Never
and,
touched.
As you say, kids now are exposed to an enormous amount of stuff very quickly. So kids will do stuff like watch the thing on YouTube, say, this looks fun. Yeah. You go for it. I bought a board game that was a favorite of mine from the 80s as part of this board games for the kids promotional drive that I did during lockdown, and it was as football based game. You can imagine the sort of thing you buy players, you a bit like Monopoly or something. There's money involved, but it was made in the 70s, so the amounts are, like with Monopoly, are all laughable. It's like, right, you can buy a football club £50, and but the main thing that struck me was I bloody loved that game when I was in it was the 80s. There wasn't as much. There were 4 channels, and playing it back, my son and daughter were very patient. They were like, right, you've won the game, so you receive £120 from the gate receipts. And basically, I did think, this is really boring. Like, I still like it. But if I was a kid, I was thinking, this is like 90% admin, this game. The way that you win money is so complicated. That you're like, now, hang on, you've won the match, so you get £250. She gets £175. You lose one of your midfielders. Even as I was doing, and I'd prefaced it by going, this game... When I was a kid, this is all we ever played. This game's bloody amazing. Half an hour in, I thought, yeah, I'll stick the PlayStation on, to be fair.
It's just fantasy football with cards, basically, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
People always try and get me to join fantasy football teams, but it's pure admin fantasy football. That's all you're doing is shuffling people around.
No, I'm not the person to talk to because I'm in a very competitive fantasy football league.
You are literally the person to talk to. What on earth are you doing with your life?
What if I told you not only do I run a fantasy football league, but I publish a quite good weekly newsletter?
Which literally do admin on top of the admin.
I don't know, is admin? There's only 38 weeks in the season. Carry on. This is not a joke. I write a newsletter. It is full of puns and stuff. Each one takes me an hour. At the end, they're compiled into a volume that size. I spend, I'd say, 10 hours of my week thinking about it. But then I'm always thinking about football anyway, so it sort of doesn't matter. But yeah, the point is, things like fantasy football are great for a digital age. Board games about football are not very exciting. And this one, as I said, it was weird doing it. It's not the first time. You'll have all had the experience of showing the kids a film and being like, honestly, when I was your age, and then half an hour in, you're like, ah, not good though, is it? Sometimes it is. Sometimes they love it. But other times you see it through the kids' eyes and think, yeah, I don't know, actually.
Yeah, it's not aged well. Yeah.
It's just because, of course, your memories of how much you enjoy something at nine do not necessarily tally with what a nine-year-old, or even, you know, a lot of those memories are just nostalgia-drenched anyway.
I'm really enjoying watching you work out that you're now an adult. It's a lovely thing. It's a lovely
more
thing.
More than, mate. I'm in my late 30s, 41.
Talking of which, it is getting late on in the show, and we are getting to the final item that I've brought out of your Amazon purchase history. And in a way, this is more proof that you are definitely an adult. This is the most adult thing, and not in the sense of handcuffs.
Yeah, I don't like the sound adult. Of that preview, to be honest.
This is a very grown-up thing that you bought. Oh, look at them. Look at their beauty. Some Spear & Jackson Kew Gardens Razor Sharp Ergo Twist Ratchet Anvil Get to the End Secateurs.
There but we sort of, yeah, but again,
it's like the generation game. I love it.
By now, a lot of you will have guessed what's coming. I've never seen those.
Oh, no.
I don't remember it. I don't. Again, do I look like I would do... Well, it is fake news, yeah. Most of my Amazon history appears to be fake news. I don't do gardening. I wouldn't know what to do with a pair of secateurs.
Right.
If you'd asked me to draw a pair of secateurs without looking at that, I would come up with something that looked more like a hippo, I reckon. So once again, you have to ask yourself, what are these doing in my Amazon history? I don't have an answer.
They're vicious as well, secateurs. They're very sharp. My grandmother cut the tip of her finger off with secateurs, and I'm still scared of them looking at them now. They're horrifying.
Well, I can only think I must have gone out to try and maim someone's grandmother, but that's not very on brand for me. And again, I'd have to be quite drunk to do that. That's not who I am.
You love a publicity stunt in between doing your fanzines for your fantasy football.
Yeah, but A, that isn't a publicity stunt because only seven people are involved, so only seven people ever read that. And B, I don't think killing someone is seen as a good publicity stunt these days. It used to work when there wasn't as much Netflix and stuff on.
All kinds.
So yeah, I can't account for the secateurs, nor for the handcuffs, nor for most of this stuff. I can only say, again, I've had a long Amazon history, like many of us, and I've also had a long history of making regrettable decisions and of drinking. And that drinking history will have a new chapter over the next 2 days, I can assure you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Watson! And just like that, my mate Bought a Toaster is back in town. Sort of. In your ears. Back on your ears, lovely listeners. Did you enjoy that? Let me know. At ToasterPod. Give me some, you know, meaning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Tell your friends. Write a review. Subscribe to the Patreon. Don't do any of those things. Just keep enjoying the show. That's all that really matters. Although, on Patreon, sorry to have a Patreon rant. Just forgive me a Patreon rant. The episode's over. You can go now if you want. I'll understand. But I'm going to put loads of episodes up on Patreon, and all tiers will be able to access all the episodes. So I think the lowest tier is only £3. So if you jump on there, chuck us £3, then you're going to be able to get early access and ad-free access to a whole bunch of episodes, which is going to happen very soon, as soon as I start doing some work and stop playing quite so much golf. At ToasterPod on Twitter if you want to say hi. Next week, I've got a few ready to go. I've got Andy Peters, which is amazing. And I've got Jason Manford, who's wonderful as well. But do you know what? I think I might drop Jenny Ryan next week. I think you'll enjoy a bit of Jenny Ryan. So off of The Chase. Yeah, she's brilliant. So maybe a bit of Jenny Ryan next week. Anyway, listen, thanks very much. Good to have you back. Good to be back in your earbuds, or however you consume this podcast. And we'll see you next Wednesday morning, bright and early. All the best. I can't be the same always.
I still love you, baby, and I want you for the rest of my day. I won't ever say we're through. I won't ever say we're through.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Listen carefully. There's two bumper episodes coming out, but that's just the hors d'oeuvre. There's eight more, Roger. Eight of them. People might hear them, Roger. I'm going to lie low. I think you should too.
Brian and Roger are back. Two brand new episodes and a whole new series wherever you get your podcasts. And see Brian and Roger live at the London Podcast Festival and the Menier Chocolate Factory in a whole new stage show. Check websites for ticket details.